Well, the countdown is on. Just a few more days until Christmas. Are you ready? By now, most of you have completed your Christmas shopping. Maybe you even have everything wrapped up. If that's you, how do you do it? You are the organized ones. We congratulate you, even if you put the rest of us to shame. Then there are others, like myself, who like a good challenge and are just starting to think about Christmas shopping. I think my son is not too far from me on that. Eh? Either way, giving gifts is a blessing. Receiving gifts is fun as well. But the greatest gift, and you know this, the greatest gift of all is the gift that God has given us, right? And that, of course, is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Jesus, God's gift to mankind, come to earth. Actually, each week of Advent, we've been focusing on a different gift that God has given us. The first week of Advent, we looked at the gift of hope. We actually began our Advent season by looking in Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 12 to 16, and the promise of God that he would fulfill the promises that he made. Even when times are tough, even when things were bleak and might even get worse for a while, God was not through with them, and God had not forgotten them, and that there was hope. God gives us hope. And I would say that the surety of our hope is directly proportional to the reality of faith in our lives. The more faith we have in God, the more certain our hope becomes. Secondly, we remember when Pastor Kurt spoke about peace, a peace that comes from God. Jesus said, "Peace I give you, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives." John chapter 14, verse 27. God gives us peace. And I would say there that the measure of peace in our lives is directly proportional to our relationship with God. The closer we are to God, the more we are going to experience peace in our lives. There's a direct relation there. Thirdly, last week we looked at the gift of joy. Jesus said, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." John chapter 15, verse 11. And what was it that Jesus told them would bring them the joy? He said, "If you obey my commands." There is that if. If you obey my commands. And I would say that the experience of joy in our lives is also directly proportional to our living in obedience to God. You see, God wants us to experience and receive his gifts of hope and peace and joy. They are precious gifts that he wants to give us. We have a part in this too. God wants us to live life to the fullest as he intended for us to live. But one thing we need to do is discern between the genuine and the counterfeit. In the world, there's lots of opportunity for false hope, for superficial peace, and instead of joy, many people indulge themselves in pleasures, thinking that it will bring them happiness when all it brings is more emptiness. Many people go after the counterfeit, whereas God wants to give us the real experiences of hope, of peace, and of joy. And this morning, I'd like for us to look at the fourth gift that God gives us, and that is the gift of love. Everyone not only wants to be loved, but needs to be loved. I know I do. I know you do. We all do. One of the cruelest things we can do is withhold our love from someone who needs it. And you'd say, well, no one would ever do that. Well, yeah, they do that. Sometimes we do that to the people closest to us, inadvertently. It's no wonder that the greatest commandment after the first commandment, I should say, which is to love the Lord your God, which is the greatest, the second after that is to love your neighbor as yourself. See, God places his relationship with us as the number one priority. And second only to that is the importance of us to love one another. To love God and then to love one another. Love is one of the most important things that we can receive and that we need to give. God knows that we need love. Lots and lots of it, from the time that we are born until the time that we pass on. It's necessary for healthy living. You can't live, at least not well, without love in your life. And I know I'm talking in general terms. Love is so important that people will go to extremes to experience it or to look for it, to find it. And sadly, many people look for it in the wrong places. And they come up empty again and again. And remember, as I said last week, if you want something that is genuine, you need to go to the right source. And if we want to truly experience and know what love really is, we need to find that in God. God shows us what is love. God is love. And Christmas is all about God's love for us. I love everything else about Christmas. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy it. But Christmas is about God's love. You know the verse, I trust you do, from John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I would say that the only reason we have Christmas is because of God's love for us. It was God's love that prompted God to send Jesus into the world. And so it would make sense for us at Christmas time to make the number one focus of Christmas the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. And again, I do enjoy Christmas. I enjoy the lights, the food, the people getting together, even giving and receiving gifts. It's always fun. I also enjoy the Christmas music that I hear, the general cheeriness in people, the spirit of generosity that is so prevalent. But ultimately, the essential meaning of Christmas is God's love for us. And I need to point out that God's love was not for a select few. It certainly wasn't limited or intended to just the high and the mighty, the powerful elite, the rich and the famous. Quite the contrary, in fact, isn't it? The fact that Jesus was born in the most humble of circumstances, and his birth was announced to one of the most humble group of people, the shepherds, it should tell us that God didn't want anyone to feel left out. And that's important. For God so loved the world. Many who were otherwise unlovable or hard to love, like us. He didn't want anyone left out, because God's love is for everyone. And if there's a message that I can share with you this morning, or sum up in just a few words, it would be simply this, that God's love is for everyone. God's love is for the lonely. God's love is for the rejected. God's love is for the ones who have fallen, not just once, but 70 times seven. God's love is for the prisoner, not just the ones behind actual steel bars, although it is there too, but those stuck behind the bars of bitterness or hate or seeking revenge. God's love is for those who are suffering loss, especially at this time of year. God's love is for those who received a call from the doctor's office. God's love is with the teenagers struggling to figure out life. God's love is with the businessman or woman who is juggling so many demands. God's love is for you. God's love is for your neighbor. God's love is for that irritating person at work or at school, maybe even in your house. God's love is for you because he wants to bring you into a new and life-giving relationship with him. Take a look at that next verse after John 3, verse 16. Many of us know John 3, 16. We memorize it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. But we need to memorize the next verse just as much. John 3, 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is God's desire, to save, to seek and to save the lost. That is what the gift of Christmas love is all about. God's desire is for us to be close to him, to reflect him in our lives. That is why he gives us his hope, his peace, his joy that is made complete in us, because we need to experience him more and more. And likewise, it is his love that fills us and moves us. It's a beautiful gift that God gives. In John chapter 15, a beautiful chapter, immediately after Jesus told his disciples that they can receive the gift of joy, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." God wants us to pattern our love for one another and the way we love one another after his love for us. If you have received the love of God, you are compelled to share it. John chapter 13, verse 35 reminds us that by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You see, the theme in the Bible again and again is God's love for us, and through that, our love for one another. That's what this is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. These gifts that God gives us, every one of them, hope, peace, joy, and love, they are given to us so that we can give it to others. Freely you have received, freely give. But before we can give, we need to receive. And that's an important step for us. We can't give what we don't have. Someone said, just as much as we can't come back from where we haven't been. You can't come back from where you haven't been. And you cannot give what you don't have. And as we think about God's love and how we need to love one another, we need to, first of all, truly know and experience that love in our own hearts and lives. Because no matter how much someone offers something to you, it won't do you any good until you accept it and receive it. I could get the most wonderful gift, present it to you, but if you don't take it, it's not going to do you any good. And in a way, God's love for us is like that. It's a gift. But we need to receive it, don't we? No matter who you are, no matter what your history has been, no matter how many times you might have fallen flat on your face or outright turned your back on him, I want you to remember and know that God's love is there. God wants to embrace you in his love. A love that can and will change your life. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God's gift of love needs to be received in order for it to be life-changing. And once we have received it, we need to share it. That's the gift that God wants to give you. Again, for everyone. Not just the people who grew up in church, who kept their nose clean, who did the right things, who stayed out of trouble for the most part, maybe for the most part. God's love is for the broken, for the wounded, for the despairing, for the ones who've fallen many, many times. God wants to embrace you with his love. And through that, he will make you into a new creation, a new person, through and through. Friends, that is what we celebrate at Christmas. And not just that, you know, it's a new season and it's great and whatever, but we're celebrating, we're remembering that God came down to earth as a man to change us, to save us, to redeem us, to make us a new creation, to give us hope and peace and joy, and to experience his love. And I just want to encourage you this morning. If you haven't experienced the love of God in your life, or if your experience of his love has waned over the years, maybe you've been sidetracked with life and have walked away from that in some way, I want to encourage you that today, here and now, or wherever you might be, you can come back to experience the love of God. It's there. He's never left us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He wants us. The story of the prodigal son reveals that so clearly. The father is waiting to embrace his son. And I want to say to you today that the Father, our Heavenly Father, is waiting to embrace his son or daughter today and surround you with his love, not just so that you feel good, have a warm, fuzzy feeling, but to change your life so that you can cross from death to life. He came that we may have life and have it to the full. And I pray that you will receive that if you haven't yet. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come to you today. And Father God, you are the author of life. You are the giver of life, that you hold us in your hands. And Lord God, this morning I pray for anyone who is here or who might be watching us or focusing in online, Lord God, who perhaps has not experienced your presence and your love in their life. Maybe they've been told time and time again that they're no good, that they will never measure up, that they will never be worth anything. Or maybe they've been battling issues and bitterness or addiction or hardship or hatred or whatever else. They don't even know what love is. Lord God, I pray that today the gift of Christmas love that we've been talking about, Lord, that they may be, just reach out to you and call out to you and say, God, just come. I need you. I need to experience you today. I need you in my life. Would you come? Would you surround me? Would you hold me? And I pray, Father God, that as we, as your people, we come to you, Lord, that we would truly embrace the love of God in our lives. And with it, the forgiveness and the peace and the hope and the joy that comes to all who would believe. And Lord God, as people who have experienced that love, I pray, Father God, that we would be people who would release that to others as well. Help us, Lord, to be gracious. Help us, Lord, to be gentle. Help us, Lord, to express the love of God to our brothers and sisters, whoever they may be and wherever they may be. And Lord, may all this bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.